Ni hao, gang. Wo yao zhi zai. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the, what is it? It's the Chinese restaurant of free speech. And so you can come in and you can order roll, you can order cai, you can order all sorts of things. And speak freely, even in English. You can do that in English because English is much easier for most people, at least most people in America. And you can pay your bill by going to republicbroadcasting.org, clicking on the donate button, and sending renminbi. You can pay by credit card with Union Pay. You can do all that. Maybe the digital yuan you can pay, so crypto, whatever. Do that and go to nationalbugle.com, peruse the articles. Got some new articles up there in the demographics department about the wonders of black men marrying white women, because whereas almost half of marriages end in divorce, a black man and a white woman is double that rate. So there you go, which means almost all end in divorce, and of course most don't even start in marriage, so there you go. Anyway, so download the Kosher-tified app. Your Chinese food is probably not kosher, but it might be, but you want to know. And so there you go. Anyway, this is Monday. We are talking about it's Chinese American Day. We're talking about Chinese stuff. We're talking about American stuff. We have Cato and we have myself. Cato, welcome to the show.
Yes, good to be here, Dr. Slattery. This is the dim sum of free speech.
Dim sum is like a dumpling, right?
It's like a it's like small dishes, including dumplings, but it's like different small dishes.
And what do I know? Okay. Anyway, it's good stuff, though. It's good stuff. So we've got a lot of things to talk about today. There is a lot going on. You know, we tend to focus a lot on coronavirus. We talk immigration. There's the racial issues. All of this stuff is coming at us fast and furious. But we shouldn't take – like, I'm an international relations person and a war and peace person, and we can't take our eye off the ball, because we've got – Tony Blinken and I think a lot of the military brass, and they're throwing us in the direction of a World War III against Russia and China, which personally I don't think is a good idea. But I don't know where you want to start. There's also an interesting person on Twitter that I was aware of already. He used to call himself the Governor General. He got kicked off Twitter, and he's back now as the Viceroy. Where do you want to start?
Well, I guess we can comment real quick on this whole thing about Tony Blinken wanting to start a war with China by provoking China, suggesting that Taiwan should be a part of the UN, and just the stupidity of so many Americans who especially on the conservative side, just their stupidity. To where they still keep saying, "Oh no, Biden, he's a Chinese puppet." Just no logic to it at all. I mean, that's the thing with the United States, is it's a land of idiots, and there's a ton of idiots everywhere, and these idiots are what make the United States so dangerous.
Yeah, well, okay, so there's a lot of lack of education in a lot of areas, and one is geography. Americans are notoriously bad at geography. They've done all sorts of international surveys of knowledge, and in terms of geography, Americans are just like right at the bottom. So I don't think people necessarily even know where Taiwan is. They don't know. They certainly don't know the history between Taiwan and the mainland. And, you know, I say Taiwan and the mainland. I don't say Taiwan and China, because at least for the past few centuries, at least, you know, since like the 1600s or 1700s, you know, Taiwan is basically viewed as part of China. And of course, the people in Taiwan are 99% Chinese. So how is it not China? How is it not China when both the government in Beijing and the government in Taipei, their official position for both of them is that the mainland and Taiwan are one country, and that country is China?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's what it is. And the reason why I'm suddenly saying this is because, you know, 2 days ago I was out and about here in my area, and I had a very, shall we say, a strange and very frustrating encounter with this baby boomer, conservative, who, let's just say, I mean, there were certain things that he was talking about, like the obviously he's against the Biden administration and you know, just the left and everything, and just going on about, oh, yeah, you know, America and all this. And, you know, I listened to him and heard what he had to say. And then he said and, you know, I'm not surprised by any of this, but just to show how stupid, I mean, just truly stupid this guy was, he then starts going on and on about how the CCP is behind the divisions. And then he said something to me. He said, you know, if the mainland decides to retake Taiwan, I don't think Biden will support Taiwan. I think Biden will allow China to take Taiwan because Biden's owned by the CCP. You know that? And of course, me, you know, face palm, you know, it's like, it's almost like just, you know, kind of banging your head against a wall. Just it's that stupid of a statement. And I didn't say anything. I was really trying to keep my mouth shut because I knew that this guy, he was the type where as soon as I start defending mainland China, he would have been like, oh, you're no doubt, you're a CCP spy. Go back to China. You know, you're one of them Chinamen who supports the CCP. You're a spy. Go back to China, you know, to which I would say, well, I wish I could. But the things, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, as a Chinese person, what can I say without being accused of being a CCP spy? Not that I care. I just didn't want to create a scene. But it's the same thing as if some white guy comes and says, hey, I don't think that it's right that white people are being demographically replaced in their own countries with floods of non-white immigration. And then they're called a white supremacist. It's the same logic, just different label. So that was my encounter with this moron, this boomer moron, who he probably doesn't even know where China and Taiwan is, and yet he's making these outrageous claims like, oh, yeah, the Biden's going to allow China to retake Taiwan, when we've seen clearly the opposite is true. I mean, there has never been an administration in U.S. history that has threatened China over Taiwan, unlike this one.
Yeah, it is this. Well, the fact that you would have the Secretary of State suggesting that Taiwan join the United Nations. Now, the thing is, the government in Taipei, and I always call it the government in Taipei, or you could call it the government in Taiwan as opposed to the government on the mainland. But, you know, the government in Taipei, the government on Taiwan, they call themselves the government of the Republic of China. And as the Republic of China, for 25 years, they held the Chinese seat in the United Nations, including the Chinese permanent seat with veto power on the UN Security Council. It was under the control of the government in Taipei for 25 years. They claimed to be the government of China. And when the United Nations switched recognition from recognizing the government in Taipei to recognizing the government in Beijing, then because both governments claim to be the government of all of China, and both governments claim that the mainland and Taiwan are both part of China. So what you have is two rival governments of China. That's what you have, two rival governments of China, one that controls you know, about 99% of the territory and population, and the other that controls the other, you know, 1 or 2%. And since 1971, I believe, the United Nations has recognized the government in Beijing as the Chinese government. And since the Carter administration, was it 78 maybe, the United States has recognized the government in Beijing. The Japanese switched recognition, I think, in 72. And, you know, aside from maybe Haiti and a few tiny islands, every national government in the world just about recognizes Beijing and of China. There's a couple that recognize Taipei as the capital of China. But the thing, so I know I've said this 6 million times, but people have to understand that Taiwan has never declared independence, and that the legal status, or the issue here is which government is the government of all of China. Until the government in Taipei declares Taiwan an independent country, which it has not, then this is a matter of which is the government of China, which is the capital of China. Is it Taipei or is it Beijing? That's where we're at right now. So it in effect, what we have is a frozen civil war. And are we to take the sides of the government that controls 1% of the territory or 99%?
Yeah, exactly. Which it's pretty obvious which one it is. And on top of that, we need to take the side of the one that is opposing the American empire, global homo American imperialism. We need to take the side that is opposing that system, that regime, the most, and we know which one that is.
And I've been to both, and a long time ago. I haven't been to either of them in recent years, but when I went to Taiwan, it wasn't rich, it wasn't poor, it was in between, and it was pretty cool. I had a good time. And when I went to China, it was very poor, and I did not have a good time. And in the decades since then, both countries, or both sides of the Taiwanese Straits, or both sides of the Taiwan Straits have done very, very well. And Taiwan is extremely affluent. And China, which was the mainland, which was starting from a much lower position, and had been messed up from centuries of a few bad centuries and decades of civil war, and then some bad policies from Mao Zedong. It was starting from basically Africa, practically, not quite, but extremely low starting point. But it's done extremely well. More people have been lifted out of poverty by this government in the past 3 or 4 decades than any government has lifted people out of poverty ever before. And now China, I guess depending on your measure, the mainland China has the biggest GDP of any country. I think if it hasn't surpassed the United States, it's in the process of doing so. And I would think it, with all the self-inflicted harm that the United States has done to itself over the past 2 years, I would think it probably has been eclipsed by now by the People's Republic. Have you heard whether it's been eclipsed already or not?
I'm not sure exactly, but effectively it has, though, because if you look at what is the defining factor of China's GDP versus what is that of the United States's, well, China's is clearly a manufacturing, industrial-based economy, with certain services in it, whereas the United States is almost entirely based on services, which, I mean, that's almost like cooking the books, if you ask me, when you try to use that to say, oh, that's increasing your GDP. Because an example would be like, let's say, both the parents have to work, both mom and dad have to work, and they have to leave the kids at home with a babysitter. Well, that babysitter generating whatever money that babysitter makes from the parents, that's considered a part of the GDP. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, that's not really production. That's because of, that's more of a necessary evil because of just – you know, the way our economy structured, the neoliberalism, to where, you know, both parents have to work because neither one makes, you know, the wages are very low, and they both have to work in order to be able to pay the bills and sustain the family.
Yeah, and here's an easy example to understand. This is something I used to see. I travel around the world, and I'd get haircuts, right? I did not get a haircut in, I don't think I got a haircut either in Taiwan or in on the mainland, but I did get a haircut in Poland. And the haircut in Poland might have cost, 20 or 30 cents. It was next to nothing. The haircut I got in, at the same time, a haircut in the United States might be $5 or $10. And so it's the same haircut, but so, in the United States, how much does a haircut cost? Like at Supercuts? I don't know, but it would be like $20 or more. And the same haircut in China probably would cost a lot less. Are we an economic superpower because of our Supercuts?
Well, that's the thing, too. When it comes to costs and everything, because overall the cost of living in China is a lot lower than here. So a dollar in China can get you a lot more than a dollar here.
Exactly.
Here everything is very expensive. Over there things are more affordable.
And I use the haircut example because it's easy to understand, but healthcare in the United States is at least 1/6 of our economy. So you're talking about 17, maybe 18% of the economy is healthcare. And is healthcare something that's going to make you an economic superpower? Like manufacturing, you can manufacture stuff and send it all over the world and sell it all over the world. You can't really sell your haircuts all over the world. People have to actually come here to get haircuts. And the same with healthcare. You can't sell your healthcare all over the world. People have to come here. And to the extent people come to the United States, that's a problem. So it's not anything we can really use for national strength. And of course, what are the results we get from our overall healthcare system? I mean, we have advanced pharmaceuticals and advanced medical technology, but we have really bad results. I mean, I could not imagine the Chinese people being more unhealthy than the American people.
Oh, not at all. I mean, for one thing, obesity is not really that much of a problem in China. In fact, it's not a problem at all. Especially now with the Chinese promoting more fitness programs and more exercise for young people. Chinese people are 100 times healthier than the American population.
Which is sad. So, but yeah, getting back to the boomer, and this is... It's not just boomers. I think the thing is boomers are a little bit more aware maybe that China exists. I don't know. Young people might not even be aware it exists. I really don't know how that works. But you do have this all this talk about Taiwan. And, of course, this is Tucker's big, big weak point is his anti-Chinese attitude. The idea of it's not just limited to America. Because I know in Japan, there's just an awful lot of anti-Chinese sentiment. What I want to get to in the after the break, because break's about to hit us. But one thing people really need to do is start to try to think of things from the point of view of the American population as opposed to the American state, the American military, or the American elite. And people are not used to doing that. And this is a transformation that RBN must be a central part of, but we will be resented for it. Anyway, we'll be right back. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
For over 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendabite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendabite a try. Extendabite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendabite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. Okay, we're back. So you talked to that boomer, and he was all bent out of shape because Biden, because, you know, what's happening to our military or this or that. And maybe what exactly were his complaints? Let's start there.
Well, his number one complaint is basically that the U.S. military is getting weak, that Biden is weakening the U.S. military.
Okay.
That was the complaint.
And, you know, maybe he's thinking of Afghanistan. I don't know what he's thinking of.
Well, that's one of the ones. Yeah, Afghanistan. That's a big one that he's thinking of.
Yeah. And, you know, this is something that has been an issue for a long, long time. I remember in the 1980s when there was a lot of anti-Japanese hostility because of, because American car companies weren't doing well and Japanese car companies were. And of course that was because the American car companies, they didn't have good gas mileage. The cars broke down faster, just a bunch of things. And you know, I don't know, but the thing is with, here's an exercise we need to do, because I think even a lot of random boomers by now, I think it would certainly work with the RBN audience, but even random Fox News watchers, you can ask them, there's certainly a Tucker a Tucker audience. Does our ruling elite, do they like us?
No, of course not.
Right. And I mean, you and I can say that, but I think at this point, a lot of the boomers can't, or, you know, Fox News viewers, no, they don't like us, right? You can rattle off all sorts of ways that we're under attack from our own elite, you know, and if they're Fox News watchers, they'll probably know what critical race theory is, although, you know, critical race theory is just one aspect of a racial attack on whites, but, you know, it's one that's gaining some traction. So there's that. I mean, our elites don't like us, and they're right. What else? I mean, how else are the elites attacking people?
So you have the through the the critical race theory, the anti-white narratives, through the, you know, the woke agenda. That's one way that they attack
people. Yeah, your trannyism and whatnot. How about the open borders?
Yeah, the open borders, that's part of it too.
And that's the government is part. I mean, the government, you got the Biden Justice Department and Homeland Security Department now negotiating with these Jewish lawyers from the ACLU to pay almost $500,000 each to families, to individuals, members of families who were separated when they came legally, right? I mean, there's so many things that you can point to that are elite or state attacks on the people, right?
Yeah. And then tie in with that, we have the Jewish attorney general basically saying that any parent, any white parent who doesn't want their children learning about, you know, trannyism, labeling them as domestic terrorists.
Right. So you got that. You got that. You got the whole corona apocalypse, all the shutdowns, the vaccine mandates, everything. So I it's pretty easy for a lot of people to understand that the elites and the government, that they don't like us. Well, if they don't like us, if they're attacking us, can our interests as the American people be the same as the interests of the American state or the American elite?
Absolutely not.
Right. They can't be the same. Right. And they absolutely cannot be the same. Now, we got that. Therefore, if somebody is decrying the American, like the military, which is the, you know, the muscle arm of the American state, If the American state is if it's our enemy, why do you want them to have more power? Why do you want them to have more credibility? This is people they're just so used to thinking from the perspectives of the elite, and they've never learned how to think from the interests of the people.
Yeah, and it's doublethink too, just like George Orwell talked about in 1984. Doublethink, as you have two contradictory thoughts and you think them both at the same time. It's like, yeah, they don't like what's happening, you know, here in America, you know, in the homeland, to where all the you know, the open borders and the anti-white agenda and all the gay anal and trannyism and all the degeneracy that the American empire is pushing on the people. They don't like that, but at the same time, they support the very institution that enforces all that, which is the U.S. military, which is, you know, the police departments in many ways, which is, yeah, the muscle of the American empire, which is your military-industrial complex and your law enforcement agencies. And they support the very institutions that oppress them. That's the logic of the average American boomer.
Yep. Okay. So we're up at the break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
So we're back, and all right, so I think we're building a case. So first is that the American elite, including those who run the government, the American state, doesn't like the American population, or at least it doesn't like the white part of the American population. Okay, so that's established. And the interests of the haters who run the government cannot be the same as the interests of the hated population of the United States. I think that's pretty well established. So here's the thing. This is where not just the boomer, but some other people that you hear in alternative news media, they say, well, yeah, but the our elites in league with China, right? That's the whole thing. Joe Biden is run by China, or China is run by the Jews. I mean, so if it's a boomer, it's Biden is run by China, okay? And if it's the alt-right, the erstwhile alt-right people, it's, oh, yeah, but the Jews run China, okay? And so with either of those, you can come up with all sorts of examples of how Biden, I mean, how much more Jewish can you get than the fake Biden administration, right?
Exactly.
I mean, so you can go through the names of all these people, from, you know, his chief of staff, Ron Klain, to these four out of five of the most important cabinet officers, Blinken, Yellen, Garland, a.k.a. Garfinkel, and Mayorkas. And then, these other people, Averill Haynes, at Director of National Intelligence, and the Assistant Secretary of Health and Human Services.
Oh, four-star Admiral.
Or Admiral Rachel Levine, the first four-star Admiral who is a woman, although we still haven't had one with a vagina yet, right?
Admiral Jabba the Hutt.
But you know, you just go through all, whether you're talking about the government, whether you're talking about the media, just, they're not Chinese, they're Jews. Okay, so that can be established. And so, well, the Jews and the Chinese are in league together. If the Jews are in the Chinese are in league together, why do these Jews like Tony Blinken? Why are they talking about defending Taiwanese independence that has never even been declared? Why are they talking about bringing them into the United Nations when they don't even claim to be an independent state?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, the Jews are and, you know, all this anti-Chinese media, it's a Jewish media. So,
yeah, fudge. CNN is I call it Chinese negative news, because everything at CNN is all anti-China.
Can you give us some good examples?
Well, like, there was this one clip where they were talking about this was a few years ago. They were talking about all the China's military bases in the South China Sea in their own backyard, and how that was aggressive. Whereas the American Empire has military bases all over the world, and almost repeatedly, nonstop, they bring up. You know, they always bring up about, oh, the Uyghurs and how horribly persecuted they are without any evidence. In fact, I think a few shows ago I played a clip of just the CNN just making up crap about Xinjiang when, you know, they filmed a school. And then they said that school was a camp. But it was a primary school. Mm-hmm. So stuff like that and just nonstop, just talking about, oh yeah, how China is racist and China is fascist, and they don't necessarily use those words right out, but that's saying when they say, oh, human rights,
and when they say China is fascist, they don't mean it in the good sense of the word.
well it is the how should I say this, obviously they hate fascism because fascism is good and they're evil.
What is even fascism? That when I was in grad school, if you're studying Marxism or communism or socialism, there were a lot of self-proclaimed Marxists or communists who wrote about it. You just don't have that with fascism. You had Mussolini had written about fascism, but you just didn't have anywhere near the same body of literature written by fascists for fascism, the way you've got it in. So you're usually relying on definitions by people who were opposed to fascism. So maybe Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt had a definition, and, you know, other people had definitions, but it's mostly written by anti-fascists. It's harder to define what fascism is, because it's for the most part defined by those who are opposed to it and defined in an insulting way. But at any rate, so I think really, if you go through that the interests of the American elite / state is at war with the American people, and the military is a potential participant in that war, likely under the direction of the American state, right? Mm-hmm. And therefore, the interests of the American population can't be the same as the interests of the American state. And also that the American state and the American elite are not controlled by China, and they're hostile to China. I think that this whole boomer perspective, and it's not just boomers, but this whole, normie perspective on China, it just falls apart, especially when they're saying, oh, we got to defend Taiwan in order to maintain American credibility.
It's like, yeah, what credibility? Credibility of endless wars and spreading gay anal and degeneracy.
That's what credibility is.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. And not to mention, too, U.S. soldiers gaining access to the local women of the countries that they conquer. That, too.
Yeah, especially in Asia. I guess in Germany at once upon a time, but certainly in Asia.
Still today in Germany also. You look at a lot of the U.S. soccer players from a few years ago, and a lot of them are half black and half German. And gee, I wonder which side of them is black.
Yeah, this is, and here's the other thing. The United States is clearly in death throes. Not just the United States, but the American people. We are dying. The Republic is at this point gone. It's been terminated. It can be restored. Maybe it can be restored. But also the American nation. If you view the American nation as the population that built America, the population that turned America from, largely a wilderness into the biggest, most powerful, the most powerful country that had ever existed up till that time. I mean, we're on the verge of being eclipsed, but there was a white Christian population that did that. You always had blacks. They were always there. But the American nation was this white Christian European nation, and that nation is on life support. I mean, you mentioned the obesity, right?
Yeah. In fact, I would go even a step further and say it's already dead, but reanimated as a zombie corpse. To which the sorcerer that's controlling the zombie, which is the Jewish elite, is controlling this zombie corpse.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Corpse, that is a good term. That's a very good term. By so many measures. And so, that nation, that white European Christian nation is... to the extent it can be revived, it may never, even if it's revived, it may never be a majority of the population. If it's revived, it will still have a large genetic input from African males now. It depends. Like these white women who are having babies, some of those babies might wind up moving into, like, being more or less assimilated into the rump white population. An awful lot of them will be assimilated into a black population that has been used which has been hostile. I mean, it's under the direction of Jewish leadership, but the black population has been hostile, and most of some of the most hostile people are those who are half white, like Obama or Colin Kaepernick or people like that, or Kamala Harris, who's not half white but she's only half black.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, I mean, white America does not exist today. It just does not exist. You might have remnants of white peoples who still live in America, but in terms of white America as a nation, shall we say, does not exist. It's only this blob of many different groups of people, all, you know, conglomerated into one blob of an empire. But white America doesn't exist, maybe with the exception of certain pockets in, like, the rural parts of America. But see, here's the problem, too. It's the people in the rural parts of America who are the most, quote-unquote, patriotic, and ones who support the military and you know, fighting in the wars and everything. I remember from a few years ago, Ron Paul, Ron Paul, who was anti-war, went to, I think it was somewhere in rural Georgia or somewhere, where he gave a speech talking about we need to get out of these wars, and he was booed. He was booed by all those rednecks in Georgia. And it's like, if the people who are, shall we say, the remnant, the ones who are left from, you know, what once was, are the ones that are fueling this Jewish imperial war machine, then what hope is there?
So, yeah, and I'm trying to get a couple of terms defined in people's brains. And, you know, we, in English, we use the terms country and nation pretty much interchangeably. And political scientists will use the word state, although, like, common people, a state is like Georgia or Texas. It's a part. It's a subdivision of the United States. But, you know, in Chinese, you've got, I guess country would be guo, and then guozhi would be state, and guomin would be nation. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, the word country is, yeah, guojia. Jia means home. Guo means...
Well, guojia, wouldn't that be the state?
Well, guojia... No, the state would be zhou, guozhou would be the state. Is zhou. Guojia would mean, that just means your homeland, your country. But yeah, guomin, or also minzu. Minzu.
It would be like guomin, minzu.
Yeah, which also means ethnicity. It means both nation and ethnicity, because in China, in Chinese, you know, these two are one. The nation is the people. Is the ethnicity minzu.
And so, but my understanding is that these concepts are better distinguished in the Chinese language and probably amongst the Chinese people, whereas in the United States, they're used so they're intermingled. And so people will say across the nation. Well, across, that's like, that is a spatial thing. The nation, when Chinese, it's clear, well, min is people, min. And but people in the United States, they don't have that concept of a people, right? And so it gets used interchangeably with the geographic area that, you know, Washington State and Michigan, they're all part of the nation. Well, the nation is the people, and etymologically, it's the people, because nation, native, nativity, these are all from the Latin root that means to be born.
It's natal.
Natal, exactly. These are all cognates, but it's not. That's been lost, partly because we don't use Chinese characters. Chinese characters are awesome that way, because they're pictographical, and you know, the etymology is right there in front of you. Although that's why I think the simplified characters are an abomination. I like the classical characters that they use in Taiwan still. But that aside, the thing is the American, that nation, that people are on life support, and you look at their demography, they're very old. It's a very old population, and if you're looking at the next generation to come up, you're looking at the people from 0 to 18, 0 to 22. it's already majority non-white, and also you're just the babies being born to white women. I don't know what the stats are. I'm going to try to find them, but my own observation is that it's extremely high, that white men are basically losing access to, they're certainly losing access to white women. And anyway, we're up at the break. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Okay, so we only have a few minutes left, and I don't want this to be a total bummer of a show. It's you can't get the genie back into the bottle, but I guess what hopefully there is a way of somehow restoring the Republic and then making this new Guoja, this new country home, a home that that at least will be comfortable for the American nation as we once knew it to continue to exist in, even if it has to rent out some of the rooms in that home to other people. You get what I'm saying? What do you think? Is there a way forward?
Well, it all depends on how the white population and how the people in general act. If they still keep wanting to be in fantasy land and pretend like, oh yeah, it's some foreign enemy out there, and you know the enemy's overseas and not here, then yeah, they're finished. Simple as that, they're finished. But if the people, if they wake up, if they learn the truth, realize that who is really against them and what their priorities are, their priorities is not about, you know, foreign enemies. That's not the priorities at all. The priorities is, you know, protecting their children, protecting their families here from this evil, tyrannical federal regime that rules over us, the one that is pushing all this degeneracy on the young ones. If they recognize that, and they go from there, and they say that, you know, this right here is our priority. It's from within. It's not overseas. It's from within, from the United States within. Then maybe there might be some hope. So option one would be that they, that white people, especially in the rural areas, wake up and they learn who the enemy is, and they try to break free and be independent from the system, meaning just not be too dependent on this economic financial system we have, and form their own communities and look out for one another. So that's number one. But number two, if that doesn't work, if white people in America, white Americans, are too stupid, if that doesn't work, then number two would be, well, as much as I hate to say it, but hope that the Russians and the Chinese come.
No, I know. Well, so okay, the a war with Russia and or China, it's really, really hard to imagine it being anything other than a disaster. I mean, it could completely end civilization. If the Americans won, which I can't see how they would win, but if the Americans won, that would be an absolute disaster for the American people. I mean, we got to where we are now from having won World War II. If we hadn't won World War II, we wouldn't have this massive Jewish power in our country. So,
if the American Empire won and maintained its hegemony, which I doubt it would, if worse comes to worse, yeah, it would be over for the whole world.
That would be horrible. Well, look, I mean, we invaded Iraq, took over Iraq. What did we get out of it? We are destroyed by winning wars. Now, I would like to think that we could lose a war and be occupied by Russia or China, but I don't even think that's realistic. But it would. But I mean,
or anyone except the Jews. It's better to be ruled by the Chinese than Jews, like you said. It's better to be ruled by Mexicans than Jews. It's better to be ruled by, you know, the Taliban than Jews. It's better to be ruled by anyone than Jews.
Yeah, but right now we don't have a choice. We do have to stay out of World War III. At any rate, this is the end of our show. We will be back next week talking more about this stuff. But thank you so much for joining me, Cato.
Well, thank you, Dr. Slattery. Talk to you all next week.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with Mark Collett and another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because